In a Bible, whether it's the one you brought from home with you or the one in front of you, the blue Bibles, I guess that's what color they are. Someone told me they weren't blue one time. I don't know. What do I know about colors? If you'll turn in a Bible to Matthew chapter 5, we're going to be looking at verse 13 today. We've been going through the Sermon out fairly slowly, verse by verse, and taking a look at some amazing things that Jesus tells us about what it's like to be a citizen of his kingdom. And today, no less than any other day that we've looked at these passages, this is powerful. And we should understand that it's powerful because this is God's word to us. God is speaking to us as we read this. So let's listen attentively to what God has to say to us from Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. And just as the Lord Jesus left the glory and the honor of heaven and came down to become flesh, to be with us, I pray that as I walk down from this pulpit to be closer to the people here, that your word would come with me, that you would speak, Jesus. That Holy Spirit, you would work in our minds and our hearts and our ears to give us everything we need to receive your word well so there will be real faith and repentance. And Spirit, we need you to do this. Otherwise, we will leave here and we will be like someone who looks in a mirror and forgets what we look like when we walk away. Please keep us from being that type of person. And help us to look intently into your word, to hear what you have to say to the church today, and let us respond in real gratitude, real faith, real repentance, real love. And we pray this for your glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and in the name of Jesus. Amen. So today we're going to talk about salt. Isn't that exciting? Salt, you know, that stuff that you sprinkle on your French fries and your mashed potatoes. Salt, that stuff that, you know, your doctor tells you not to get too much of or your blood pressure might go up. Salt is a very interesting thing. It is sodium chloride. Did I say that right, science people? I'm not a science person, so... sodium chloride is formed from what I understand when an unstable metal reacts with a gas that is toxic in some form, and somehow it comes together and it makes things tasty. I don't understand that. And the other thing is salt is basically from the family of rocks. So whenever you eat salt, you're basically eating rocks. You ever thought about that? It's kind of weird. I mean, you wouldn't go out to your driveway and, you know, pick up some rocks or something and eat it out there. People would think you're strange. But yet we do that every day when we're sitting at our kitchen table. We sprinkle a little rock on our potatoes. It's kind of strange. Salt is essential to the body. Did you know that? You have to have salt. If you drink too much water at one time, it can flush all the salt out of your system and you will die. But if you get too much salt, you will also die. I had a much better way of saying that. How about this? Consumption of salt can be deadly. If all you need to do is, you need to take about 1 gram of salt per kilogram of weight. And forgive me, because this is what I got off the internet, okay? And whoever did it in kilograms, I don't even know what a kilogram is. 1 gram of salt per kilogram of weight to die. And in China, this was how nobility would commit suicide is they would eat too much salt. Isn't that crazy? I mean, there's all kinds of interesting things about salt that I never knew until this week. And, you know, you think about all those interesting things and you think, oh, salt's kind of more interesting than just being something you sprinkle on your food. And so I think it is interesting. Jesus says the citizens of the kingdom are the salt of the earth. He says that if you are a citizen of the kingdom, if you are a person who has been brought out of darkness, of sin and death, and brought into the light of Jesus Christ and his grace and mercy and love, you are a citizen of his kingdom, and thereby you are salt of the earth. It's just an interesting thing. Now, I don't know about you, but when back where I grew up in North Carolina, when someone would say, so-and-so is the salt of the earth, what they meant was that was a very stable person. You know, someone that you could rely on, someone that was dependable, someone who was grounded. But that's not what Jesus is meaning here when he says, you are the salt of the earth. Although, let's hope that some of you are grounded and dependable. But that's not exactly what Jesus is getting at. So when we look at this passage, Jesus says in verse 13 of chapter 5 of Matthew, you are the salt of the earth. What does he mean? Yes, it's interesting. And yes, there are all kinds of ways that we can connect Christianity, being a Christian, being a citizen of the kingdom, to salt. But what was Jesus really getting at when he said this? You know, some people say, well, you know, Christians are to make the world around them more tasty, you know, more palatable. But that's people who live in our society. That's how we use salt today. Or when the snowpocalypse comes, you know, we put salt on the roads to keep the ice and snow there. But that's not really what Jesus is talking about either. So what is it that Jesus is getting at? Well, if you think about that time period, the main reason people used salt was as a preservative. Because they didn't have refrigeration. Can you believe that? I mean, when they got their meat, they didn't open their refrigerator door and pull some ham out. Of course, if they were Jews, they didn't pull ham out at all. But what they did was they would take salt and they would put it on the meat, and the salt would keep the meat from decaying, from rotting. It would allow it to stay for a little while. And I know this for a fact, because I read it. And two, I know this actually works because my parents had a smokehouse in the backyard when I was growing up. And that's how they would keep meat fresh. Salty, but fresh. Very salty indeed. And so what Jesus is saying here, primarily, when he says, you are the salt of the earth, primarily what he's saying, this means kingdom citizens are a preservative. Kingdom citizens, that Christians, those of you who believe, you're a preservative for the world around us. Slowing and even preventing the decay of society in various ways. That's what Jesus says about you, being salt of the earth. You are a preservative. To slow or even prevent the decay of society around us in various ways. Now, several things are implied in Jesus' metaphor, and I want to try to unpack this. If you look in your bulletin, you'll see there's four of them. We're going to try to go through these fairly quickly, but I do want to talk about, rub in this metaphor of salt into our lives so we can understand what Jesus is getting at as being preservative. The first thing we need to understand, if Jesus is calling us the salt of the earth, the implication of that is that the world around us is constantly subject to decay because of sin. The world around us is constantly subject to decay because of sin. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist or a brain surgeon to see that, right? I mean, I want you to think about this. These are just a few statistics I pulled up this week. 40 million American people regularly visit porn sites on the internet. 40 million. Now, back when my dad was alive, and he was a young guy, the only way you could get pornography was you had to find ways around polite society in order to get them. Now, all you have to do is turn on your computer. This website on pornography statistics have said that about 200,000 Americans are what are considered porn addicts. That is, so addicted to looking at pornography that they can't stop. Or think about this. In 2013, an estimated 24.6 million Americans, 24.6 million, I can't even imagine how that is. That's a large number. You know, I have 10 fingers, and that's about as far as I can get. Or as I tell some people, I'm a musician, so I can only count to four. One, two, three, four, one, two. Sorry, that didn't go over well. In 2013, an estimated 24.6 million Americans aged 12 or older used illegal drugs in the past month. 24.6 million used illegal drugs. Now, that's anything from possibly marijuana in those states that marijuana is not legal to crack cocaine, meth, any of those things. In that same year, 2013, over 600,000 abortions were reported to the CDC. Now, abortions have always been with people. Abortions have always been done, even back in Jesus' day. But to the level that they're being done today, it really is unprecedented. One study about terrorism said that between the years of 2006 and 2013, 130,000 fatalities happened because of terrorists. 130,000 fatalities in just a few years. And then, according to massshootingtracker.org, in 2016, 604 people were killed in mass shootings in the United States last year. 604. Now, it does not take someone who's got all their cylinders firing to see that something is sort of unraveling. That our society around us, even worldwide, is subject to decay. And Jesus is saying, you are the salt of the earth. Let me plug something here real quick. If society is, quote unquote, going to hell in a handbasket, as you've heard, maybe it's because the Christians aren't being salt. Just something to think about. Well, the second implication, if the first implication of Jesus saying you are the salt of the earth, that therefore you are a preservative, the second thing, and that means that the world around us it's constantly subject to decay. The second thing we need to think about is our very identity in Christ and by the Spirit is salty. Our very identity in Christ and by the Spirit of God is to be salt. Look at what Jesus says in verse 13 of Matthew 5. Verse 13 of Matthew 5. You are the salt of the earth. He does not say you should be. He does not say, you could be. He does not even say, you might be. He says, you are. This is your identity. This is who you are. Jesus himself says it, therefore it is true. And part of what we need to understand here is that Christians, kingdom citizens, you have been saved by grace. We read that in our call to worship this morning. The grace of God, his kindness, his riches toward us in the Lord Jesus. He has brought us out of this sinful, dark, decaying world and brought us into his kingdom of joy and righteousness and light. And he says, now you are something different. You're not like the rest of the world. Yes, we still struggle with sin. Yes, we still struggle with our issues and our problems. But something fundamentally different has been changed about us. If anyone is in Christ, finish that sentence for me, church. He is a new creation. You're a new creation if you're in Christ. And that means you're salty. You don't exist for your own good. You don't exist just for you. God's purpose for you is to use you in some pretty significant ways as a preservative. And that's part of your identity. Isn't that cool? I mean, doesn't that bestow some great honor upon you? Okay, being called salt doesn't sound very honoring. But being said, there is something about you, Christian, kingdom citizen, that is here for the purpose of preserving righteousness, goodness, truth. And he says that's part of who you are. You are the salt of the earth. And because this is true, because the world around us is given, it's constantly subject to decay, and because we are the salt of the earth, that is our identity, it follows that we must not lose sight or shy away from our unique kingdom qualities. We must not lose sight or shy away from our unique kingdom qualities, otherwise we will be useless as a preservative. And I can tell one thing about all of you sitting here today who believe in the Lord Jesus. Every single one of you. And in fact, even if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus, I know this about you. Not one of us wants to be useless. Am I right? Nobody wants to be useless. All of us want to be useful in some fashion or form. And what Jesus says in this passage is that if we lose sight of our salty nature, or we shy away from this calling as we are salt of the earth, then we could be useless. That's what he says right here. Verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, or more literally, if salt has lost its saltiness, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Now, some people read that and they think that what Jesus is saying is, if you believe in Jesus, if you believe in the grace of God, and you don't live up to what God is calling you to do, then that's what God is going to do to you. He's going to throw you out and let people trample over you. basically. And that's not what Jesus is saying at all. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, what good, what use is salt that has lost its saltiness? It's not useful anymore. It doesn't serve a purpose anymore. Look, once you believe in the Lord Jesus, once you put your trust in him, once he has truly changed your heart, you can't lose that. That's there forever. How do I know that? Because the scriptures say it. Jesus says it. He says if anyone comes to him, they can't come to him except the Spirit draw him in the first place. And then once that person comes, nothing in all creation can separate them from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. But what Jesus is getting at is, if you want to be useful in the kingdom, you don't lose your saltiness. You don't forget who you are. You don't shy away from this calling to be salt. And think about everything that we've talked about so far. And I know some of you are new here today and you haven't heard all of these messages. So I'll just go quickly through what we've said so far. Jesus says that you're a blessed person in the kingdom when you're poor in spirit. When you're someone who realizes, I can't do it on my own, I need God. Jesus also says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. When you realize that you don't have what it takes, and you have sin in your own heart, and you see the sin of the world around you, that causes you to mourn. That causes you to say, it shouldn't be this way. Jesus also says, blessed are the meek. And meekness, at least in one, is a type of humility. And again, it's sort of saying, I want to lower myself rather than try to exalt myself above everybody else. I want to lower myself and let God exalt me. Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. When you have that deep-seated hunger and thirst and you desire more than anything the righteousness of God, that is part of what it means to be a Christian, to be a believer, to be a citizen in the kingdom. He goes on to say, blessed are the merciful, people who show mercy to other people, not just forgiving them, but demonstrating acts of kindness to people who don't necessarily deserve it. Blessed are the pure in heart. That means their heart is set on one thing and one thing only, on God and his glory and serving him and loving him. Blessed are the peacemakers, people who make peace with other people. They strive, they long for it, they want it more than anything. And then even blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. People who say, you know, no matter what, I'm going to follow Jesus. Even if that means people say negative things about me, they taunt me, they mock me, they make fun of me, even if they do worse, I'm still going to follow Jesus. That is the kind of person God has called us all to be. That's a kingdom citizen. And Jesus says, if you're that type of person, you are the salt of the earth. I mean, think about it. How many people do you know out in the world who are like that? This is an even harder question. How many people do you know who resemble that in the church? Maybe it's because we've forgotten. Maybe it's because we've forgotten who Jesus says we are. Maybe it's because we've lost sight of it. There's a story that I love about a man called Francis Schaeffer. And some of you may have heard of this man. He was a pastor in our denomination years ago. And during one part of his pastoral ministry, he had a spiritual crisis. A real crisis. Because he looked around in the church and he thought, how in the world is it that we have people who say they're standing for God's holiness, standing for the purity of doctrine, standing for purity in the church, standing for purity in a personal life, and yet they turn out to be so harsh and ugly to other people? How can that be the case? Because pure doctrine tells us that the two greatest commands are to love God with everything that we are and to love your neighbor as yourself. So how can someone hold to this pure doctrine, at least mentally, intellectually, theoretically, and yet be so ugly to other people? And it caused him to have a crisis of faith. And he told his wife, Edith, here's his quote, I feel really torn to pieces by the lack of reality, the lack of seeing the results the Bible talks about, which should be seen in the Lord's people. And I'm not talking only about people I'm working with, but I'm not satisfied with myself. It seems that the only honest thing to do is to rethink, re-examine the whole matter of Christianity. Is it true? I need to go back to agnosticism, which means not really knowing whether there is a God or not, not really knowing whether God has revealed himself or not, going back to a questioning kind of mentality and start at the beginning. And so he did. He locked himself away for months, studying the scriptures, reading, wanting to know is true. And he came out of that spiritual crisis stronger than before in his faith. And he said, I believe more than ever that what the Bible says about Jesus, what the Bible says about the gospel is true. And if people don't live up to it, that's just showing that sin really exists. Powerful statement. And so, folks, what we need to do is remember who Jesus calls us. He says we're salt. We're a preservative. Don't lose sight of that. Don't forget who God has created you to be. He has created you to be someone who is not only saved, but who does, quote-unquote, good works that God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And part of his works, Christian, citizen of the kingdom, is to be a preservative in our society. And the final implication that we need to see from this passage, from what Jesus says, and he calls us salt. We've seen so far that, okay, the world around us is subject to decay, and we all agree with that. And we've seen that Jesus identifies us with salt of the earth. He calls us that. And what Jesus says is true, and we believe that. And then third, we see that we can't shy away from that. We can't lose sight of that. But finally, kingdom citizens have to intermingle with the world in order to do our salty work. You hear what I'm saying? Kingdom citizens have to intermingle with the world around us in order to do our salty work. I want you to think about a scenario. Imagine you walk into a warehouse, and this isn't a cooled warehouse, it's just a regular warehouse with nothing else in the room except for in one corner there's this huge pile of salt. And in the other corner, way over here, is a huge pile of T-bone steaks. I mean, they're just raised up to the ceiling. Now, if you just left room just as it is, what would happen within a few days' time? That meat would rot. It would decay. It would stink. It would not be usable. But wait a second, Stuart. The salt is in the room with it. But the salt hasn't connected with the meat. And my brothers and sisters in Christ, if we are to be a preservative in the world around us, if we are to be salt, in one way or another, we have to intermingle with the world. And I know for some of us, that's scary. For some of us, that sounds really messy. For some of us, we're saying, well, you know, I don't even know where to begin. But you are the salt of the earth. And the way you begin is you just get out there. Start with your neighbors. Invite them over for dinner. See what happens. Start with your coworkers. Invite them to the men's conference. Or invite them to a fellowship meal here. Or even invite them to a worship service. Just start there. That can be a part of being salt in the world. You don't have to be the president of the United States or the governor of our state or the mayor. And to be honest, you don't even have to be involved in politics at all. I know. It's hard to believe. Now, that isn't to say that politics doesn't have a place of Christians being salt. It does. But you don't even have to do any of those things in order to be a preservative in your small sphere of the world. God, by the power of the Spirit, makes you sufficient to be what you need to be in those places. Can you trust Him in that? Can you believe that He will do that? Now, one final thing I need to say here before we shut this down today. There may be some of you here today who are not Christians. You know, you're not believers. And you've heard me over and over and say things like, you know, if you're a kingdom citizen, if you're a believer in Christ. And maybe you're thinking, well, I don't even believe in Jesus. So, I mean, what does this have to do with me? Well, I invite you to see the claims of Christ. Who He says He is. He says that He is God in the flesh, come to save you from the wrong things that you've done in your life, the wrong things that you've said in your life, the wrong things that you've thought in your life, to save you from those things and to make you a new person. And His call by the Spirit is, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And yes, being a Christian can be hard, but it can also be the most joyful and wonderful thing you experience in your heart. It really can be, because you have peace that transcends all your understanding. You have a destiny to be with your God forever in righteousness and joy and peace. It's a beautiful thing to be a citizen of the kingdom. And so if you are not a believer in Jesus today and you would like to know more, please come see me after the service. Or come and see anybody in here, really. There are so many people here who could point you to what it means to believe in Jesus. And we would love to talk to you about Jesus. Amen, Christians? We would love to do that. And then you get to be salt with us. And that would be so cool. We would love that. So, Christians, believers, followers of Christ, by the power of the Spirit within us, let's infiltrate. How's that word? Infiltrate the world around us in various ways in order to fulfill the salty calling of our King. Let's pray together. Father, thank You that You have given us Jesus. Thank You that You've given us Your Spirit. And even though we are insufficient to be salt in this world, to be a preservative, You, by Your grace and Your power and by the Spirit, You make it so. So will You work in us today so that we will be those who infiltrate the world around us. We get involved. We get engaged. In small ways, in large ways, in medium-sized ways, in mundane ways, whatever they may be. Help us to fulfill the calling of our identity, that we are the salt of the earth. And we thank you and praise you for putting that identity on us. In the name of Jesus, amen.